The Know Your Foe series kicks off for the 2026 season preview with Notre Dame.
Welcome to the Bucky Report, your destination for all things Wisconsin Badgers. Authentic takes.
Oh my God.
Game analysis.
Touchdown Badgers, ring one up.
And discussion from the fan perspective.
Woohoo!
Thanks for joining us and on Wisconsin.
Welcome to the Bucky Report. We are your hosts, Rajiv and Justin, back together to launch our new Know Your Foe series for 2026. And we're starting off with, of course, the first game of the season, Notre Dame. There were going to be eight Know Your Foes. We're not going to do every game. We're going to pick the eight best games. We're going to do interviews every week with different members of that team's either podcast or media, someone that knows a lot about that team. Today, we've got a great guest from Locked On Irish who's joining us. And that's going to be a great, we did that. I actually recorded that interview a couple days ago. We're going to play that now and come back and react to it. Tyler Wojak from Locked On Irish joins the show. Tell us about our first opponent, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, September 6th at 6:30 p.m. Central Time at Lambeau Field. Tyler, welcome to the show. Let's jump right into this. Marcus Freeman entering his fifth season as head coach. 2 years ago, made the playoffs. Last year, got the playoffs snub. Crazy. What's the level of optimism right now? What's the pulse of the fan base entering into a season that obviously generally has a lot of hope for the Irish?
I would say optimism is at an all-time high. Certainly in my lifetime, I cannot remember going into a season where winning a national championship was actually the expectation. And now Notre Dame is a program where, you know, that's kind of been what people say. People always say, well, Notre Dame should always be competing for national championships. They don't have a conference championship to play for. It's national championship or bust. Well, it has never felt more real than it has this offseason going into the 2026 season. There's a bunch of reasons why. You look at the roster. They have CJ Carr, returning quarterback, who could be one of the best quarterbacks in the country. They have a ton of returning talent, especially on defense. They went out and they added some key pieces in the transfer portal. Marcus Freeman is entering his fifth year as a head coach, so he's not just like the new guy. He's been around. They also return all three coordinators for the first time in the Marcus Freeman era. And then lastly, the schedule sets up pretty favorably for them. So it is definitely a little bit different going into a season with such high expectations, but I would certainly take this as opposed to the opposite.
Well, I hope that the schedule isn't good to you the first week. While it's on paper, it probably should be good, but we'd like to think that maybe we'll put up a fight. You mentioned some key additions. Let's talk about that. Obviously, losing a guy like Jeremiah Love, who was drafted third in the to the Cardinals. What other key losses do you have from this team, and what are some of those key additions that the Irish brought in?
They also lost Malachi Fields at wide receiver. Now, he is someone that they brought in from Virginia. He was a one-and-done player with the Irish, but he was really, really good, and I feel like if Notre Dame had actually made the college football playoff, his stardom would have really risen because it kind of took him a couple games to get his feet under him at Notre Dame, but then during the latter part of the season, like against Pittsburgh, he made two of the best catches I have ever seen from a Notre Dame wide receiver, and his stats weren't that great because Notre Dame didn't have to throw the ball all that often. They just would hand the ball off to Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price, and that would allow them to put up a lot of points on a lot of teams that they played last season. But had they made the playoff, I think he would have had an unbelievable run, especially with CJ Carr having that full regular season under his belt by that point in time. So to replace Malachi Fields, they went out and they actually got two transfer wide receivers from Ohio State, Mylon Graham and Quincy Porter, both former five stars. Both those guys were considered the next men up at Ohio State. Now that Carnell Tate is out the door and Jeremiah Smith is going to leave more likely than not after this season. So they didn't replace Malachi Fields with someone like a Nick Marsh, the receiver from Michigan State who ended up with Indiana, a more proven player. Instead, they took two guys who have a ton of potential. So those two guys are going to have significant roles this season. And then defensively, on the interior, I would say the two biggest additions they made were adding Francis Brew from Pittsburgh, defensive tackle. He was a freshman All-American, and Tiona Gray from Oregon, who is another really good player. But when you look at Oregon's defensive line, they might have four NFL players right there. He's probably going to be the first guy off the bench at Oregon. Now he's going to be starting at Notre Dame. The Irish are never going to be a school who goes out there and they find like 20 guys in the transfer portal. They prioritize high school recruiting, development, and retention more than a lot of other programs. So they really go in the transfer portal just to fill a few needs here and there. They were in the single digits this year, but I would imagine the guys that they did get to commit to them in the portal are all going to have huge impacts this season.
Let me ask you quickly about the running back position. Obviously, with the loss of Love and then the other guys, well, a lot of production that's lost there. How do you feel about that position in general? Do you feel like, did you get a transfer running back, or was that all just guys coming up from high school? How's that position look?
So Aeneas Williams is going to be the starter, more likely than not, barring injury. And then behind him, you've got Nolan James Jr., two guys that Notre Dame recruited out of high school. I think they kicked the tires on potentially taking a running back in the transfer portal, but they were big game hunting at that position. There were some reports that they were interested in Hollywood Smothers, the running back who used to play for NC State. Then I think he committed to Alabama before flipping to Texas, so the rare flip in the transfer portal. But I think his asking price was a little bit more than what Notre Dame was paying because they liked the guys in the room. They didn't feel like they needed to go out there. It was more so like, well, if they can go out there and get a supremely talented player who wants to be part of the team, then they can go ahead and do it. But it's not like a situation where they really needed help at defensive tackle, and they went out and they got Francis Brew and Tiona Gray. So Aeneas Williams is going to be entering his third season with the program. And Notre Dame fans will tell you that he's already proven that he can play at this level. And I would certainly agree with that. So in 2024, when Notre Dame went on that run to make the national championship, Jeremiah Love was their lead back. He was their lead back all season, but he got hurt in the very last game of the regular season against USC. Hyperextended his knee, was not near 100% throughout the playoff run. Now, that didn't stop him from making some spectacular plays, like the 98-yard run against Indiana, but he re-aggravated it against Georgia, barely played in the national championship game against Ohio State as well. During that time, Aeneas Williams was a true freshman, and he was out there making huge plays for the Irish against Indiana. He had a critical catch down the sideline for a 35-yard gain against Penn State that set up a touchdown that that tied the game. So he's already been trusted to make big plays for this team on the biggest stage, and he looked so good as a freshman that last year people were wondering why he wasn't getting any touches, and it was just because they wanted to give them all to Love and Price, which I think we can all understand. But every single time that Aeneas Williams has been out there on the field, whether that be in critical game action, the college football playoff, or garbage time after Notre Dame was up 50, he has excelled, and I have no reason to doubt that he's going to fit right in on this offense in 2026.
Okay. Sounds like the running back position's in good shape then. Tell us about some of the other key positions. What would you say is the strongest unit on either side of the ball and the weakest?
The secondary is by far the strongest, in my opinion. I think Notre Dame is the best secondary in college football. They have Leonard Moore, who is undoubtedly the best cornerback in the sport. He's going to be, you know, Jim Thorpe Award finalist, all that stuff. He was probably the best cornerback in college football last season. He is a special, special player. Notre Dame had Benjamin Morrison in 2024. I thought Benjamin Morrison was the best cornerback I have ever seen in Notre Dame uniform. He gets hurt midseason, and you think, oh, well, how are they going to recover from this? Leonard Moore comes in as a true freshman, and they did not skip a beat. And by the end of the season, you know, he's covering Jeremiah Smith in the national championship game. Smith said that Leonard Moore is the best cornerback he has ever faced. And now he's 2 years removed from that, an even better player. So they have him. They also added a corner from Colorado named DJ McKinney, which was a surprise to most fans because Notre Dame has recruited cornerback extremely well, multiple five stars and all that stuff. But DJ McKinney is a guy who was receiving first-round draft grades prior to last season. He got hurt, and I think just Colorado's hole took a dip. So they have him. They could form what I believe is going to be a top-five cornerback duo in college football. And then at safety, you've got Adon Schuler and Tay Johnson. I expect both those guys are going to have to make a decision after this year whether or not they want to enter the NFL draft because they're both that good. Like, it's not out of the realm of possibility that Notre Dame has the best cornerback duo and the best safety duo in college football. So that's the strength. Biggest weakness, ironically, is probably tight end, which is a little bit weird for Notre Dame because we like to call ourselves tight end U, but due to injuries and different things like that, the tight end position has definitely taken a step back. They have recruited some really talented young players. It's going to be a matter of, are they ready to go? But their starter, Cooper Flanagan, is coming off a torn Achilles injury. The staff really liked him when he was a freshman, got on the field a lot earlier than most people had anticipated. But whenever you're coming off an injury as serious as a torn Achilles, there's going to be some questions about how quickly are you going to get back to 100%. But he has at least excelled as a run blocker in the past, but Notre Dame doesn't have that dynamic downfield threat at tight end right now like they're accustomed to having.
Tyler, Notre Dame's certainly not unfamiliar with losses early in the year. Obviously, last year, Miami, Texas A&M, and Northern Illinois has been on there the last couple of years as well. Early season, you're going to Lambeau Field. Does this game concern you against Wisconsin? And is that much of a storyline for Notre Dame fans, like the typical September lull that you seem to have?
Yeah, it's definitely a storyline because Marcus Freeman has never gotten through September undefeated, which is a bit surprising. He's also 1-3 in home openers, so maybe Wisconsin would have had a better shot in this game if this game was actually being played in Notre Dame Stadium, because it's a weird trend with Freeman. I mean, he lost to Marshall in his first ever home game, and then he also lost to Northern Illinois and Texas A&M. Obviously, the A&M loss is a lot more forgivable than the previous two, but still, it is an odd trend, and Notre Dame has had some September slip-ups in the past, so I would say, from my personal standpoint, of course, I'm going to be nervous. I probably am more nervous fan as it is, but I do think that this is a big statement for Notre Dame and for Marcus Freeman and everything that the program has, where after what happened last year, the way that last season ended, there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on them as the season begins. You know, that Notre Dame-Wisconsin game is on a Sunday night. I believe there's one other college football game happening that night, Ole Miss and Louisville, but all eyes are going to be on Notre Dame-Wisconsin to see how the Irish bounce back after the way that last year ended. So there is going to be some added pressure, and there's always added pressure going into a college football season, but especially in that game. So how is that team going to handle that pressure? How are they going to handle, you know, all the attention on them and trying to take it one game at a time, even though, you know, the expectations obviously are focused more on like a deep run in the college football playoffs. So I think it's absolutely going to be on the minds of fans. Now for the players, I mean, I don't think they're going to be concerned with, you know, losing to Marshall or losing to NIU a few years ago. That's not going to be what they're thinking about. From people on the outside, yeah, it's definitely going to be a storyline going into that game.
Are there any other big storylines heading into the 2026 season that you want to touch on from Notre Dame's perspective?
I mean, we've covered most of it already. I just think with a team that has as much talent on the top as this one, and then also the depth behind it, like I have never seen a roster as talented as the one that Notre Dame has going into the season. It's a testament to the way that Marcus Freeman has recruited and also their aggressiveness in the transfer portal. Notre Dame is definitely one of the most competitive programs in the country when it comes to NIL, and you can see that in the roster that they put together. So, you know, with high expectations comes added pressure, but Marcus Freeman is in a more stable position now that he's been around for a long period of time. They've got the coordinators they want, they've got the quarterback that they want, and they've got talent all over the field, but still it's about going out there and executing on game day and making sure that you can avoid a potential slip up like the ones we've referred to earlier, and then stay healthy and do all the things that you need to do to put yourself in the best position possible to make that deep run in the college football playoff that we all hope and expect.
You know, you're really not helping my optimism, because talking about how you've got this great roster, I was kind of hoping that we would be able to sneak a win, but, you know, we'll see what happens up there. I'm going to be at that game. I'm pretty excited.
I will be there too. Excited. I was actually at that game in Soldier Field in 2021. And I remember in the moment, I thought, man, I wish they just did a home and home, because Soldier Field, all due respect to the Bears fans out there, it doesn't hold quite the same level of prestige as the Lambeau Field. But now that I'm going and I'm going to get the opportunity to go to Lambeau Field, I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm cool with this home and home that's not really a home and home, because they don't play on each other's home field.
Right. Right. Tyler, where can people find all the work that you do?
Locked On Irish daily podcast. You can find us on YouTube, wherever you get your podcast. Still doing it daily during late June and in July as well. How is that possible? Sometimes I question that myself, but we're still able to do it every single day.
Thanks for joining us, Tyler. Appreciate the time.
Of course, man. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you again to Tyler Wojak for joining us from Locked On Irish. Justin, I mean, call me convinced. Like, I thought, I've been pretty hyped on, I think we have a chance to go to Lambeau Field and do something here, but I mean, Tyler's talking about the best secondary in the country. I've done subsequent research, and I mean, it does look like they've got one of the best rosters Notre Dame's had in a long time. CJ Carr's a good quarterback. There's a lot of things there. What'd you make of what Tyler said? What do you think about this Notre Dame team?
Yeah, I think ultimately when it comes down to this game, the big part of this is going to be, and it goes for both teams, both of these teams are built on running the football. As good as CJ Carr is, their offensive philosophy is built on a lot of play action, a lot of like stuff that is going to be based off the running game that's going to make them effective. Now, he can work beyond that if the running game is not up to task and isn't great in this game. That's ultimately what Wisconsin has to figure out. What do we have? Like, if we can't run the football consistently against them, can Colton Joseph go out there and carry, you know, the passing game? And it's going to be against a really good secondary. And I think we knew that. But, I mean, it kind of goes – like, a lot of the things that we have questions about with Wisconsin are things that Notre Dame knows their answers to. They know they have a good secondary. We think we have a good secondary with the players that we brought in, but we don't really know. You know, are they going to potentially show out and be what we expect them to be? Or is CJ Carr going to exploit them? So there's a lot of questions here. Like, they clearly have the answers to the questions that Wisconsin doesn't. And I think that that's why we come into this game thinking, yeah, Notre Dame should win this game, and potentially convincingly, because of the fact that they are a lot more settled than we are.
Yeah, definitely settled. And they've gotten, hey, man, there are a couple things. I think that Tyler mentioned that obviously they lost to their two-star running backs. One of them went Love, went third in the NFL the draft. And he brought up they have Aeneas Williams, who's been on their roster, another guy that's a high school recruit. They didn't really bring in an RB transfer portal guy. So there's some question marks there. And they're pretty confident that Aeneas Williams is going to be good. The other thing that he mentioned, which I thought was really interesting, was the two transfer wide receivers. They're both unproven wide receivers out of Ohio State. They're not, they, like he mentioned, they didn't get the guy that ended up going to the Michigan State guy that went to Indiana. His name is escaping me right now. But they got these unproven five-star recruits from Ohio State. And I wonder, is there any, also said that tight end is their weakest position group. So I do wonder if there's some element of, is their passing game going to be as prolific as they expect it to be? Is their running game going to be as prolific as they expect it to be? And will our defense be able to, you know, that we're confident in our defensive line, we're confident in our linebackers, obviously. Is that going to be an edge that maybe we have that Notre Dame fans aren't seeing, or they don't think, because they don't really believe that our team is any good per se? Mm-hmm. Offensively, though, man, you're right. We have to run the ball. Like, it has to be a game where Abu Sama and Darren Dupree go off and our offensive line is working to start the year. Because if we don't run the ball, listen, Colton Joseph's going to use his legs a lot, but I don't really think against, you know, the guys like Leonard Moore and Christian Gray and DJ McKinney that we're really going to be able to throw the ball all over the map here. It's not going to happen. Even though we're at Lambeau, we have to run the ball, and we have to do it pretty effectively.
I personally am of the mind that this game is going to be far lower scoring than people are giving it credit for. And I don't think that the running game has to go off, but what it does have to do is it has to get the plays that are there, and they have to find a way to be in that 4 to 4.5 yards per carry range against Notre Dame in order for us to function offensively, because I don't trust that if we're at 3 yards a carry, that we're going to be able to make plays through the air consistently enough to win this game.
Right.
I will say, to me, the biggest factor in this game is our defense has to show that and prove that they're a top 20 defense. They have to come into this game, and they need to disrupt Carr, because if they don't make him have a tough day, And we know, we've seen Wisconsin teams do this in the past to really good quarterbacks. This is not like some of the Ohio State guys that are hypermobile that is running around back there. You can get to Carr. Like, he's not going to be running for 170 yards in this game. So if you have that opportunity, you have got to make him rush through his progressions. You've got to get in his face and kind of disrupt the timing in this game. This is probably the first time, and we don't know what we quite have yet in our secondary guys, but I think the question is legitimate here, that I think this is the first time we look at it and say, from a corner athleticism standpoint, this is the first time we have guys that we feel like can play with those guys and run with those guys, where they don't have to be perfect from a technique standpoint in order to get by. We have guys in Bates, Fletcher, Robinson, and even
Scott
who can turn and run with these guys and stay with them. And that's a big deal.
What do you make of the Notre Dame September slump today? They've had that a few years now. Obviously, Marcus Freeman's never gone through September without, you know, a loss. I almost feel like it's motivating them now more than ever to come up here and not have that problem. But do you feel like that's going to be a thing?
Not really. Like, I don't think there was really a like September swoon kind of, so to speak, last year. I think they just played two good teams.
You're right. They did.
In Miami and A&M.
A&M.
That ended up stinging them. Because I think if they had played two mediocre to lower power or group of five teams, I think they would have blitzed them. But that's kind of the thing that comes here is, like, out of those teams, Wisconsin could be, like I said, they could be a really good defense this year. If the pass rush is there, Wisconsin could be a problem in this game and make things complicated. And that's when I say this game could be closer. I still think we lose, but I think this could be a 20-10 type game or 24-10 kind of game where it's just a grind, because I think they're going to struggle to find big plays, because I don't think they're going to have a ton of time to sit back there and throw it around. Wisconsin's going to have a pretty good, like, almost hockey lines with what they can put in there for guys who are at least athletic and potentially provide some pass rush. And because of that, I don't expect them to wear down as much, provided they're able to get off the field. Now, the big part of this that is the question, I know you said Aeneas Williams, the question with him is not, will he be good? The question is, you lost a guy who was a Doak Walker winner, a legit game breaker. And that's where this game could potentially hinge on being a big deal. Like, simply good could be he runs for 80 yards on 20 carries. And that's a big difference from a guy who probably runs for 150 on like 25.
Yeah. I mean, look, all total, they're an absolutely loaded team from a roster perspective. They're very pleased as fans. Like, obviously, Tyler mentioned, like, he says it's one of the best rosters Notre Dame's ever had. Marcus Freeman's in his fifth season. All things point to this being the premier national title contender. Mm-hmm. Lambeau Field hopefully is going to be an environment that's great. We're going to be up there, of course, and it's going to be fantastic. Tyler's going to be there, as he said. So it's going to be good. And I'm curious to, like, I did a show with Ryan a couple weeks ago, and we tried to, like, I think it's going to be 60-70% Badgers. It might not be. And if it's under 50%, that's going to be disappointing to me.
It won't be.
I know there's a lot of Notre Dame fans, but I just, like, I really think that Badger fans, like, relish the idea of being able to play in Lambeau and being able to go watch games there, right? Like, that's got to be, it's awesome.
There are people like you and I who, and this goes for next year with Dublin too, who are going to look at this scenario and say, this is an experience and it's been 10 years since we last did it. So let's go to this game because it's different than going to a game in Madison. Like, we've been to games at Madison. Going to a game in Lambeau is just a different experience. It's a little bit of a change up that I think will draw on people from Wisconsin no matter what. I do think there'll be a ton of people there. I do think there's some real energy behind this team and being a better team this year than what we've seen recently. It's tough because if this was like week four, I think it would be even better, because I think you'd have a lot of people starting to believe in the team. But being game one where they haven't seen it, it's going to be tougher to get people to buy in right away.
Yeah, it's like the great unknown, right? Because we've talked so much this, obviously, we talk all the time about this stuff. Like, we don't really know what to expect, but we also know that it's going to be better. We know the roster is far improved. We know there's been more investment. We know we've got a whole new look in a lot of ways. Obviously, Colton Joseph at quarterback. So it could be a great game. It could not be. We'll see. But either way, we're going to be there. Thank you again to Tyler Wojak for joining us to give us kind of the insights into Notre Dame. We'll be back again next week with another team. We're going to again do 8-part series. And go check out all the content that we've got coming up on the Bucky Report. Sunday shows coming up. Big Ten Media Day is coming up. And today, of course, was the launch of the Know Your Foe series. Thanks for joining us. And as always, on Wisconsin.
On Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to our YouTube channel at The Bucky Report or The Bucky Report Podcast from wherever you get your content. Until next time, on Wisconsin.